Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We have sort of come to the end of the book of 1 John, this letter that was written by John the Apostle, but I thought it might do us some good to spend an episode or two or three, not too many, I hope, but just reflecting on the totality of what we've seen, okay? Just thinking on what all was said within this letter. You know, it's so easy to do. We sit there and you'll read through a passage, you'll read through verses, you'll read through chapters. You'll examine a word or two of it, you know, that type of thing. And but then you sort of miss the forest for the trees. You know what I mean? So remember why John wrote this. We just saw it in the 5th chapter, the 13th verse. He said this, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So he wrote these things to them, the ones who were believers, and he wrote them with the understanding that they would understand that they have eternal life. Now, excuse me, this isn't the first time that he's mentioned why he's writing to them. Do you remember back in the first chapter? In the first chapter, in the fourth verse, he says this, "These things we write so that our joy may be made complete." Well, was he writing from a selfish motivation? Was it all about John and nobody else? No. What he was saying was, I want you to keep pressing on. I want you to keep doing these things we're talking about. And primary among them is loving the brethren, loving God, loving one another. And he said, this will make our joy complete if you will keep on pressing on this, if you will keep doing this. So he's given them an idea of why he is writing. And I think in the, maybe it's later in the, in the first verse of the second chapter, there you go. He says this, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you." So he mentions to them again why he's writing. And then down in the 8th verse of the 2nd chapter, he says something about writing. "I'm writing a new commandment to you." And that new commandment was, you know, not to live in the light, not in the darkness. And so he reiterates over and over that he's writing to them. And then he tells them why he's writing. There's different elements. So I think it'd be really good for us to, you know, go back and reflect upon what was being said with the bigger picture thing. And so remember, he started at the very beginning saying what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So this is John speaking in 1 John 1:1. And then verse 2, he said, "And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaimed to you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete." So he's reminding them, as he's reminding us right now, that I'm writing these things and I'm basing it upon the fact that I've seen, that I've touched with my own hands concerning the word of life, concerning Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's proclaiming a firsthand testimony. Few can say this. Very few can say this. And so remember, he started off, and John sometimes is viewed as being somewhat ethereal in his writings and stuff, but not really. He just uses pictures, okay, in a different kind of way. And in the balance of the first chapter, he talked to us about making sure that we walk in the light, okay? He says, remember this message that you heard from him and that we brought to you. He said, you've heard the message, we brought the message, that God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all. And then he starts this thing that he says all the way through. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we saw at the very beginning, the first chapter of what we have seen all the way through, that John is really concerned about the pattern and practice of behavior. The pattern and practice behavior. If you say that you're walking in the light and you have fellowship with him, and yet you walk in darkness, then you lie and you do not practice the truth. What is a lie? Not practicing the truth. And he's very bold about it right here. He's saying you lie if you do this. Later on, he calls them liars. He said, if you do this and this, then you're a liar. I mean, he's just forthright about it. But he also said, if you walk in the light, even as Jesus is the light, then we have fellowship with one another. See, fellowship, folks, with one another, love for one another is not something that we whip up. That's what we've seen in this letter here. It's not something that we create. It's something that we experience because of whose we are. Because we are the Lord Jesus, and because we are one in him and we have fellowship in him, then we have fellowship with one another. Therefore, we have to manifest that love. If we sit there and say that we love God and yet we don't love one another, he deals with that. He says, you're a liar and you're not a real believer. But then he says this, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So folks, we are cleansed from all sin. And you see this in John, you see this in several other writings in the scripture, that we do not have to sin. When we were of the world, our nature was that of the world, and nature was sin. And so our pattern and practice of behavior was to sin. That's who we were. But now we're not sinners. We do not have to sin because of something that's within us, et cetera, et cetera. No, we simply choose to sin. And that is such a powerful distinction, okay? Now watch what he says about the sin. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So he's not saying that we have no sin. You know, people want to swing the pendulum too far on both ways on this. We are empowered not to sin because the Most High God dwells and lives within us. We do not have to sin, but we can choose to sin. We can choose to resurrect the body. But if somebody comes along and says, no, I have no sin, I am now perfect because I believe, and so therefore I will not be tempted, and I have no sin within me. Well, that hubris right there is sin, okay? Now, the last two verses, chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're very familiar with that verse. But now we have a little more insight as to what he was saying through the totality of the letter. When we sin, confess that sin, but we don't have to sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if we sit there and say that we haven't sinned, okay, I'm saved now, so I haven't sinned and I never sinned. Well, that's a lie too, and his word is not in us. But look what he says. This is the end of the first chapter, but chapter 2, verse 1 begins this way. We just saw it a while ago. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. So the idea is, like, I'm writing this to where you will know these truths and you won't sin. But then he says this, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation of our sin, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So he's saying this, I'm writing this letter to you, to where you will not sin, to where you will know the truth, that you'll be prepared. And one of the primary things he's looking at is to make sure that we love one another. If we love one another, and if we love God, and if we abide in the Lord, we will not sin. But when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Well, how can I say we will not sin, but we do sin? Because we simply choose to sin. We choose to step outside the abiding of the Lord Jesus Christ. We choose to go our own way rather than his way. We choose ingratitude rather than gratitude or thanks. We'll continue more with this, but you know, take some time the next day or two and reread the entire book of 1 John and watch what the Lord speaks to you. Again, I'm Dale, and I'll see you next time.